This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, June 8th, 2025, Armor of God, Faith Shield.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Morning. Thank you, Barry, for that that walk through memory lane there. Wow. Ooh, some old pictures in there. Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's creation? Yeah. Yeah. There at home here in the sanctuary, we celebrate, we praise, and we glorify Father, Son, Holy Spirit as we gather together in worship, corporate worship. You know, it's just so different when we can be with others, isn't it? When we can, we're just reminded of what's going to come. Can you imagine when it's in heaven? And we're just, wow. I can't even begin to imagine. So come here solo today because Carrie had a little surgical procedure this week. She had her complete knee replaced and doing very well for less than a week out, huh? Not bad, yeah. Not bad. Of course, she's getting excellent nursing attention at home, I must say. So, let's pray. Oh, God of all creation, God who gives us life, God who redeems us, God who forgives us, God who offers us salvation, we come before you and we just take this moment to say thank you, to praise you, to glorify your holy name, to be reminded that we are yours, and that you are sovereign, King of all glory. And please help us to never forget, it's not about us, it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Please help us to rest in your spirit and to be made new once again in Christ Jesus our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody said, amen, amen. So we're in the sixth chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. This letter to the church doesn't appear to be written in response to any single event or crisis, but it's kind of more general in nature. From the intro that we read in the Harper Collins Study Bible. It's the Bible I used in seminary long ago. I looked in that for a little piece of information. In the intro, it tells us this letter seems to have been written to many churches, not just one, but many churches in that area. And here's the interesting thing. Paul addresses the readers as Gentiles. You know, many of his writings are to the Jews, but this is written to the Gentiles. And this is what he said. The Gentiles who, quote, no longer live as Gentiles live. In addition, Paul reminds them that they are no longer, quote, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, and strangers to the covenants of promise. In other words, they're no longer outsiders. They have become insiders. They're not any longer those guys, but they're part of us guys. Does that make sense? Yeah, they've been adopted into the family of God. Yeah. And so because the Gentiles have chosen to follow Christ, they are going through not just change, but radical transformation. They're having heart transplants here. personally and socially, this letter, Ephesians, appears to be written to help them through these changes, giving them instructions, guiding their faith steps as they move along here. And so this section on the armor of God that we're working through last couple weeks, today, next couple weeks, it gives them kind of a visual reminder of the protection that they're going to need against the forces of evil in the world. And let's never forget, there are definitely forces of evil in the world. Yes, they are definitely familiar, and they're familiar with this picture that they're given by Paul because they're in Roman territory here. Roman soldiers are around them, so they see them daily. So he uses these everyday reminders to be a reminder for them what is needed when they fight a spiritual battle that goes beyond the here and now of their day and day-to-day existence. Here's what Apostle Paul shares, and we've read this before, we read it again, we'll probably read it the next 2 weeks too, because this is what it all hinges on, and this is what we must never forget. Ephesians 6:13. Say it with me, will you? Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. In other words, you're not going to let that evil take you down. You're going to, because of these this armor of God, you're going to still stand strong. That's the whole point there. And again, we're repeating this because it's important. It's as Carrie was saying earlier, I was talking to about getting up in the morning and being reminded to put on that armor of God. Maybe you said it last service. You got to remind it. Don't forget. Remember, this is important stuff. This cosmic battle we're in, and we said it before, but it bears repeating, is a fierce winner-take-all death match. And Paul wants to be sure that those he is writing to are well prepared. And that includes you and me. Put on every piece of armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And when is that time? It's all the time. Because Satan is relentless. Satan doesn't take breaks. Satan doesn't take vacay. Satan doesn't retire. Satan doesn't take naps. He's focused on you. But with the armor of God, we can stand firm after the battle. So far we've put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and our good news shoes. Those good news shoes can allow us to do some good dancing, can't they? Dancing in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of who? The devil. You know, some people think of evil, of the devil, as just a concept, an idea. They think the devil is just a personification. No, it's a real being. It's absolute. It's not an idea. It is quite real. Literally, many enemies fired flaming arrows at the shield-bearing Roman soldiers. And their shields were made out of a wooden frame with leather stretched over it. And when they were dry, they would catch fire. That was the whole point. Fire them up. Get fired up. If the soldiers would completely soak those shields, though, the leather and the wood, it would protect them from those fiery arrows. Unfortunately, if they were out in the rain in addition to soaking, they'd get additionally soaked, and they became rather impossibly heavy because of all that weight. So that's the reality that Paul is drawing on when talking about holding up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. In addition, this is what's really cool when you think about it. Those shields weren't these little tiny, kind that you would use in a knife fight or even a sword fight. These babies would cover most of the person to protect most of that soldier. And the metaphor is powerful when we compare that shield of the soldier with the shield of faith. The shield of faith would protect not just one part or another, but the entire spiritual warrior. And that's because faith in God is complete protection. Complete protection. Stopping the fiery arrows of the devil is serious business. They can hit us in our head, our heart, and many other areas, including some of those that we generally don't talk about. And the thing is, what happens when Satan fires those arrows at us and we aren't protected? All kinds of pain and destruction. How about when we're hit with a flaming arrow of greed and envy? When we can't get enough, all we can think about is wanting more and wanting what someone else has. I think pretty much all of us at one point or another have been hit with that flaming arrow, those flaming arrows. That arrow can easily destroy one's sense of contentment, never satisfied, always wanting more, always hoping for what we don't have and know what someone else has. A never-ending onslaught of desire. Speaking of desire leads us to another arrow. That would be the flaming arrow of lust. Lust. Now, there's a metaphor for you. You know, you play with fire, you get burned. And those arrows hit us when we least expect it, when we're unprepared, when we're at our most vulnerable. The damage those arrows can do is exponential. As they not only affect us, they affect our spouse, our kids. It's like a pebble in a pond. The rings just keep going, especially when someone is looking at us as a Christ follower and then find out some things about us. These errors can lead to making poor decisions, including fornication, adultery, pornography, among the many other things that are far from holy. But lust includes other things other than just the sexual. There's lust for power, lust for position, lust for alcohol, lust for food. That's the arrow I got to protect against, that lust for food. That's we'll also call that gluttony. Yeah, that's a flaming arrow that has my name all over it. And Satan knows just exactly when, where, and how to take aim and hit me with that flaming arrow, and maybe that's true for you as well. And Satan has quite a variety of arrows to choose from. How about that giant trifecta? This is like a three-pronged arrow of fear, anxiety, and insecurity. This comes as a flaming package deal aimed right for your emotional base, right here, the heart. And again, Satan's the master of hitting the mark, catching a bullseye on the target of you and me. He's got very, very good aim and knows right where to place the flaming arrows from that quiver of his. And here's the thing. On our own, we're absolutely, positively, incredibly defenseless. We talk a good game. And we work hard at avoiding those flaming arrows. You know, we can be pretty agile at times. Of course, I'm getting less agile as I get older, but we think we're pretty agile. You know, no, he can't hit me. And just when you think he can't hit you, boom, that's when you're most vulnerable because your pride has taken over and you get hit. I'm unscathed. No, think again. Make no mistake about those arrows aimed for you and me. And if you look real closely, they have our names on them. Flaming arrows with our names in capital letters, honing in on our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our very souls, with the sole purpose, pun intended, of, in the words of John 10:10, which we said before, and it bears saying again, to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal our joy, kill our dreams, destroy our very lives. Yeah, yeah. You know, Jesus told us that, and what Jesus says we believe, don't we? If Jesus said it, it's true. You can trust it. You know, this is an all-out war, and Satan is merciless in his pursuit of us. And he plans to take prisoners, you and me. And we can fight, but on our own, we are no match. And he knows it. He knows it. In the midst of this battle for your mind, in the midst of this war for your heart, in this midst of the death match for your soul. God offers a battle plan that is foolproof and fail-safe. It's a simple, sure, secure plan that offers salvation from the flaming, devilish arrows of Satan. And it's so simple that anyone can take on this plan. It's a simple, simple plan. It's the shield of faith that we're talking about this morning. Shield of faith. As the scripture promised, the shield of faith will quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Shield of faith is like a Roman soldier's water-soaked shield on the field of battle. The water quenches the flaming arrows that the enemy sends. Shield of faith quenches the flaming arrows that Satan has aimed for our hearts, minds, souls, spirits. Reminded here of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, another part of the Bible, and this is what he said about faith in this, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is what?
Faithful.
I couldn't hear you.
Faithful.
Okay. Say it like we mean it.
Faithful.
Yeah. God is faithful. That means his faith doesn't take a holiday. It means he doesn't rest on faith. It means he is there for you, not just here and there, always and everywhere. God is faithful, and he will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Wow. God is faithful. He will not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. When tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. But here's the thing. God is faithful, but you need to be faithful as well. Otherwise, God's over here faithful, and you're over here, I don't know where you are. God will show you the way out. But if you're not paying attention, you can't follow. If you're not listening, you can't hear what he tells you. If you're not watching, paying attention, he'll go, and you won't know the way out. We need to constantly be in touch with the Lord through prayer, through just opening our spirits to God's spirit, to kind of be in connection there. And we need to be holding on to that shield of faith for dear life and to keep those flaming arrows from doing their damage. Hebrews 11:1. I love this scripture. Say it with me. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We want to see it to believe it. There's a lot of things that you believe in that you can't see. You can't see the wind, but when it blows that tree down, you believe that it's real, right? Well, if the wind's real, that God definitely real. We believe many times in the things we do not see, and especially in God. Mm. As a Christ follower, our faith is not the faith, as it says here. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. Our faith is not in this world. This isn't our faith place. It's not trusting in ourselves and others, but having complete trust, having complete faith in God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Christian faith means that I believe what I read in the scripture. Means I believe what God says is true. Christian faith is believing that Jesus lived a perfect life, was sacrificed on the cross, died, was buried, rose from the dead after 3 days, ascended to the Father, and sits to judge the living from the dead. That's basically the whole New Testament in a sentence. You have that, you got it all. Christian faith is believing to the core of your very soul. Romans, what we read in Romans 10:9, Paul shared. If you declare with your mouth, say it with me, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. You'll be saved. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. That's a no ifs, ands, or buts. That is for sure. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or made right. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. If you say, do you ever have something where you think about it and you think, example, my problem with, I'm going to lose a little weight. But if I, as soon as I tell you what happens, oh my, now you're going to kind of help hold me accountable, aren't you? So I don't like to tell people that stuff. But just like here, if you say it with your mouth, means you're serious, doesn't it? Yeah, means you're serious. Yep. Declare with your mouth, Jesus Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yeah. That's the shield that we cling to protect us from the flaming arrows of Satan. Faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. That through his sacrifice on the cross, we are saved. And no matter how hard Satan tries to steal, kill, destroy, our faith in Christ will win in the end. Always Christ will win in the end. Let's go back to where we started today. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Carrie's got something to share with you to close out today.
So I was in the office on Monday, and Mickey Kibler is an office volunteer. And she gave me permission to share this. She said, Carrie, Ephesians 6 is one of my favorite things. And I'm like, okay. She goes, well, I want to share my testimony. I'm like, okay, this is getting good. She was at a women's retreat a number of years ago. It's before they moved here. And there was a quiet time. And during that quiet time, she was just praying to the Lord, listening for the Lord. And this scripture came into her head and into her heart, specifically the shield of faith. And so she thought it was a word for somebody. So when they all got back together, she shared about this scripture to have this shield of faith. Well, the next day, Mickey found a lump in her breast. And what that caused was lots of chemo and surgery and a whole months and months and months of this battle. But the word was for her. Use the shield of faith. And every time she felt low, every time she felt down, she remembered that the Lord spoke to her that day and said, put on your shield, hold your shield of faith. And that's what God does. God gives each one of us the equipment to have. We've been talking about the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the good news shoes, and today the shield of faith, and we'll continue with the other pieces of the armor. But we are not left alone. We will not go down, because when we put on the armor of God, he's our protector. He's our shield. He's the one who carries us every step of the way. So I want you to leave feeling encouraged, because the battle, the Lord's already won. We just need to put on that shield and all the equipment that we have before we ever get out of bed. Paul talks about putting it on, you know, before he gets to bed and never taking it off. So yeah, let's do that, okay? Because we have the good news that Christ is always with us. That's the promise. That's the real deal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just got to say, I saw that video the first time, and it's like, wow, the second time it just did me in. Thank you for my friend Barb coming up to sit with me. And I also want to say, Kevin, this is our goodbye, because you're not going to be here. And you have mixed my sound for years. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, buddy. Yeah, thanks. All right, church. God is good all the time, right? All the time? God is good. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much that you love us so much that you don't leave us to ourselves, that you give us this armor and you protect us. And yeah, bad things happen, but the promise is that you'll carry us through. And so I thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you that you're going to do it again, no matter what. You're going to again show up. You're always there. Thank you. You move mountains. You're with us in the valleys, and you carry us. So, God, you're good, and we just want to honor and praise your holy name. In the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.